Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, January 10th. As the partial government shutdown drags on, some states are writing checks to their national parks to limit the impacts to tourists. But as Capitol Coverage reporter Scott Franz says, Colorado doesn't have any plans to pitch in.
Utah and New York are among the state governments that have been paying tens of thousands of dollars a day to keep the visitor centers open in their most iconic parks. But here in Colorado, the snow-covered roads in Rocky Mountain National Park are closed this week because nobody is being paid to plow them, and the visitor centers are locked. Abby Leeper with the State Tourism Office says she hasn't heard of any plans for the state to step in. Rocky Mountain National Park is technically still open during the lapse in government funding, but visitors won't find any services, and those who enter the nation's fourth most visited national park on foot are being advised to use extreme caution while the rangers aren't around. I'm Scott Franz.
Wildlife advocates in Colorado are sounding the alarm as the Trump administration considers finalizing changes to the Endangered Species Act. Eric Gladys has the story.
The Trump administration is expected to finalize new rules that critics argue would weaken the Endangered Species Act. Haley Hawkins with the Endangered Species Coalition says under current law, species listed as threatened automatically get the same protections as those listed as endangered. She says under the new rules, new candidates for threatened status would not be protected.
Oftentimes, species go extinct waiting to get listed. But now, if we're going to make threatened species wait even longer for protection, that just increases our chances of losing even more species.
The proposal would also require the U.S. Interior Department to consider economic analysis for the first time before determining a listing, which Hawkins says could put industry profits above the needs of wildlife and entire ecosystems. The Trump administration has argued that removing regulations it sees as barriers to fossil fuel development is necessary to achieve energy dominance. Hawkins says the proposal will make it much harder to prevent loss of habitat, a primary cause of extinctions, and the new rules would also prohibit listing species based on threats posed by climate change.
So anything that we do that fragments habitat or destroys habitat is going to be really bad for wildlife, including climate change, development, or if that's extractive industries like oil and gas or logging.
Last September, conservation groups submitted more than 800,000 public comments opposing the administration's proposed changes. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
KUNC's Luke Runyon came across a lesser-known moment in the state's water history and the century-old structure that stands as a reminder of it.
It's bitterly cold when Eric Mason and I walk up North St. Vrain Creek in the foothills outside Longmont.
All right, so I think it is up just around the next bend there.
Great. Loving this very crisp walk. Feels great.
Mason is a local historian and a curator at the Longmont Museum. The snow crunches under our feet as we get closer to the site of Chimney Rock Dam, or what's left of it.
So that's the dam there.
Yep.
A concrete arm about the size of a train car juts out into the creek. It doesn't block it completely. Water still flows past. And that's because this dam is unfinished, left in the same state since 1927.
You can see a lot of the structure that normally would be, you know, concealed in a finished dam is still exposed because, you know, it was essentially abandoned mid-construction.
Do people call it the KKK Dam?
I actually don't think too many people know the story.
For those who don't know, an election in 1925 put Ku Klux Klan leaders into a majority of Longmont's city council seats. The Klan in Colorado targeted Catholics, Jews, and Mexicans, and were swept into power with their anti-immigrant rhetoric.
People may know that the KKK was in Longmont, but that they had this strange public works project is probably a lesser known aspect of the KKK's history in Longmont.
Once in control of the council, they started looking for a splashy infrastructure project. Something big, something made of cement. Something to show the people of Longmont they were getting the job done.
Essentially, they were trying to find a way to employ their friends.
bags of concrete started piling up at the site, and KKK sympathizers were placed in jobs overseeing the build. But the work was slow, and the initial cost of $85,000 quickly ballooned to $350,000.
Costs were going up, and that combined with, you know, this association with a Klan project.
That's what killed the dam, Mason says. Also, there was a growing group of locals who weren't happy with the change the KKK brought. They called themselves the Visible League, and they took out an ad in the Longmont Daily Times. It read that if the KKK wasn't kept in check, it would only lead to, quote, hatred and distrust in town. By the time the next election rolled around, voters ousted Klan members from the council.
People really, I think, particularly in that first council election, weren't paying attention. And it wasn't until they got into office and started doing some of these crazy things that people realized, no, this was a really bad idea.
The new council quickly put the kibosh on the dam's construction, but they were left with 7,000 sacks of cement. And because more and more people were driving cars in 1927, the bags were hauled into town for a different public works project, road paving. Today, only a small sign tells people they're looking at Chimney Rock Dam, without any detail on how it came to be or of the Ku Klux Klan's role in trying to build it.
People don't like negative history in a lot of ways. They want to think that everything was great in the past. Yeah, there weren't the problems we have today. And the reality is that, you know, people and have been struggling and fighting against each other for as long as there have been people.
And Mason says it's structures like this unfinished dam that can be reminders to not make the same mistakes of the past. I'm Luke Runyon.
A pair of Budweiser Clydesdales visited the state capitol last week to help usher in the era of full-strength beer at grocery stores. Scott Franz was there.
Starting this week, shoppers will find beer that is stronger than 3.2% on supermarket shelves. Jim Elkins was one of the dozens of people who made the trip to take pictures of the iconic horses and applaud the change in the state's beer laws.
It's unbelievable that it's taken so long after Prohibition to bring full-strength beer to grocery stores.
Anheuser-Busch sales manager Greg Solazzo says the company called in some extra help to prepare for the change.
We have about 250 people from outside of the state coming in to help us merchandise, build displays, and really get the full-strength beer out into the grocery and the convenience stores.
The state legislature passed the new beer rules despite concerns from liquor stores and breweries who feared the change could hurt their sales. Shoppers will still have to go to liquor stores to buy their wine and hard liquor. I'm Scott Franz at the state capitol.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, January 10th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.